1859.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Rick.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the new episode of 1859, a podcast. I'm Rick Moody, and
I'm Michael Hurst.
Welcome.
So, very exciting thing we're doing here. Tell us about it, Rick.
Mike, what we're doing today is we're rebranding our podcast.
Excellent. What does that mean?
You know, what it means is that we're going to say and you know a lot during this podcast. As far as I can tell, a lot of phatic communication words that have no purpose but to exist in the middle of sentences while you regather your thoughts.
Right, so there's no editing. That said, can you actually talk a little bit off of your mic?
It's
popping, but everyone knows that now. They're, you know, this is how it really works.
Okay, so I'm meant to use words...
Maybe a little closer.
Words with no P's in them?
Yeah, we can't say any words with P's or S's.
Okay, or B's.
And there's a fire engine passing, but it's all good. This is how it works.
Yes, so 1859 today, folks, is a live, unedited broadcast. It's actually going to be exactly 18 minutes and 59 seconds.
I'm pointing at the little sound machine, otherwise known as an iPod.
Yeah, so
add sounds live as we're going. Sound effects, aside from the fire engine that's passed.
But like, what kind of sound effects are you looking for?
Like our theme ID, for example.
You're saying you want the.
So it's such a lame version of the button to make sounds. Well, okay, on that note, what is the theme of this podcast?
Okay, the theme of the podcast this time out, Mike, was selected by myself, and the theme is medical trauma. And the idea is that today we'll speak of any medical or dental trauma that we happen to experience or that our guests have happened to experience, and we're really going to try and get down with the blood and guts a little
bit. It's interesting you say medical and dental. Is dental not medical?
I think dental's a separate category.
You work for insurance companies, don't you?
Well, the fact of the matter, as I was telling you before, Mike, I have no medical traumas. And I don't want to say it on mic because that's just asking for trouble. In fact, since we decided that this was going to be the topic for tonight's program, my wife fell down the stairs in Amsterdam and broke her leg just two nights ago and was stuck later in the apartment and could get no one to help and had to throw a note out the window to a pedestrian.
Wow. Yeah, you didn't tell me any of this. This is all live, heard for the first time by me.
Yes. But you know what? The hour is late, so I'm going to introduce you to talk about your medical trauma story, which I think has to do with
kidney stones, I believe, is what you're getting at. Well, I'm sorry about your wife. That's horrible. And I know she's on a plane right now, and I hope they're, you know, making her comfortable and stuff.
Does that mean like giving her
1859? Yeah, I've had kidney stones. They're horrible. How's that? There's my story. You know, I'm a kidney stone machine. I've had many kidney stones, and it's funny because everyone assumes that the whole pain of a kidney stone is actually urinating the stone out. That's not the case, because you can actually flush, as they probably say somewhere, the stone out very easily. It's actually the passing of the stone between your kidney and your bladder that's extraordinarily painful.
When did you have your first kidney stone, Mike?
Well, I'm 34 now, and my first stone was when I was about 24. So for 10 years now, I've been having stones, and I'm collecting them. And ultimately, I'm going to make a necklace out of the stones. But you know, I've known women who have had kidney stones and have had babies, and they've told me that passing the stone was more painful than having a baby. So just to give you an idea of how painful it is.
Well, you know, Pepys, the famous English diarist, passed a stone. Actually, he didn't pass it. He had a stone the size, they say, of a golf ball, which was cut out in the 17th century, I think, you know, without anesthetic. They just opened him up and cut out this this kidney stone, and he saved it, and he had a party every year on the anniversary of having his stone out.
Yeah, well, that would actually hurt to piss out. I retract my statement earlier. But yeah, it's that whole dropping into your bladder thing. But that's horrible. The size of a golf ball. And yeah. I mean, they're not friendly stones either. I mean, you think of a stone and you think of this nice thing that's been in a rock tumbler, but these things are like jagged and crystal formations with spikes. And it's when it's going from your kidney to your bladder that it gets stuck on the ureter, the very small, narrow passageway between those two organs. And these spiky, it's imagine like those little briars you get while walking through the beach, but one of those in your gut, you know, and it doesn't feel good, Rick.
Sort of like pissing an asteroid.
That's one way of looking at it.
And how many do you reckon you've had now?
Well, it's hard to say. Probably about four or five, except there's been a few instances where they have actually probably been turned into sand before I passed them. And I've actually had the lithotripsy, the sonic blasting, to an amazing invention. They just put you in this machine and essentially blast the motherfuckers, as you said once in an email to me.
And is that, what does the sonic wave sound like?
I've never heard it, and I don't know if there is a sound. I think it's probably an ultrasound or an infrasound, maybe. Something that just, it's basically repetitive shocks that they, it's this weird gelatinous thing they put on your back, and it runs for like an hour. And truth be told, I've been under twilight anesthesia every time because they don't want you to move. It's not the pain. They don't want you moving a millimeter and accidentally blasting something else.
And what's the prognosis for you with future stones?
That I'll probably have a lot more.
and why is it? Why were you so blessed as to have this particular?
I have no idea, because no one in my family has had kidney stones. I'm the first person. I think my uncle might have had one at some point, but it's not very clear. But, you know, and there's all these dietary things I've tried to undergo to help prevent these from having, you know, and there's like foods that are high in oxalates. My stones are made of calcium oxalate, the compound of the two, and so by avoiding dark leafy greens, this is really boring. We should just start introducing somebody else.
Okay, but I do want to say that my cat also has calcium oxalate stones. That's his particular suffering right now.
Oh, well, I'll give your cat a hug next time I see.
Okay, Mike, who have we brought in today to talk about medical trauma?
Well, we should start by introducing, we have two people here. 1859. One is Jason Bittner, a good friend of mine, and also my downstairs neighbor. And the other person is a good friend of ours, Amanda Stern. And with that, Amanda, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Rick.
So, medical trauma, you got one?
I got plenty.
I believe you have several.
Yeah, I have a lot. Let's see, I'll give you my latest medical trauma, or the most serious. Okay, so in 2005, I woke up with a severe case of exhaustion.
How can you wake up with a severe case of exhaustion? What are the symptoms?
I'm telling you, I woke up with a severe case of exhaustion. It was as if I had not slept. My eyes ached, my limbs were heavy, I couldn't roll over. I was just exhausted. And so I went back to sleep. And this continued for a long time. I slept for like 12 hours a night. I'd wake up and I really felt as if I hadn't gone to bed yet. So I went to the doctor and they tested me for everything. But everything came back negative. So he decided it was my thyroid. So he sent me for a sonogram of my thyroid. And they found out that I had all these nodules on my thyroid.
Isn't that a great word?
Nodule
is a horrible word.
I mean, I don't actually want any, but I like every opportunity to say nodule.
They actually told me I had a family of nodules. I sort of like that phrase.
Really? Does that mean like mommy and daddy?
Yeah,
nodules?
A couple. I think that might be the title of my next novel. Family of nodules.
It's good. I like it.
So they said I had these nodules and they put me on medicine to shrink the nodules. So on the day that my boyfriend moves out of our apartment, the doctor...
Abandoning you to your nodules.
Abandoning me because I had a family of nodules. When he found out I had a family of nodules, that was it for him.
And
he felt
he
was being cheated on. Exactly. So the doctor called and decided on that day that I needed to get a biopsy of my
nodules.
Family because maybe I had cancer. And so that was good news on top of already good news. So they said I had to get a biopsy. And when you get a biopsy of your thyroid, what you really get is something called a fine needle aspiration.
Oh, yeah. It's sounding right? good already.
So, and that's actually the name of my band. So just
fine needle aspiration.
So what a fine needle aspiration is a plunging of a needle into your thyroid.
Through
the skin, because my thyroid is not on the outside of my skin. So they had to go through my skin to the and then they pump up and down, up and down, up and down to get the tissue from the thyroid. So they hold my head back over this sort of like foam pillow, neck pillow thing, and I'm not allowed to swallow.
Any anesthetic?
No anesthetic.
By being told you're not allowed to swallow, you just felt the saliva building up.
I have to swallow. Yeah, I wanted to swallow, you know, just nonstop. I had a family of swallows upon me. So anyway, so I'm lying there and the plungers stick the needle into my throat.
So Pulp Fiction.
I know. And start pumping. Now, meanwhile, there's a technician watching the movie of my biopsy over in the corner. And she says, well, wait a minute. Where is it? And they take the needle out and they said, what are you talking about? And she says, where's the nodule? So they plunge it into a different part of my thyroid and they pump up and down. And she keeps saying, well, wait a minute. I don't see it. Where is it? And they can't find the fucking family of nodules. And so she
relocated.
Exactly. They moved. So she started laughing like, you know, she's watching some black and white farce or something, which I guess she was. Anyway, so they finally find the nodule and they're pumping up and down. And they hand the screen, put it on a screen and they give it to the woman. And, you know, she's chatting me up and I'm just like, are you going to tell me if I have cancer now or not? So she looks under the thing and she says, you don't have cancer. And I said, I don't have cancer. She said, no, you're going to live. So I went back to my endocrinologist and he diagnosed me with severe depression and put me on antidepressants. And that's what happened to me in 2005. Wow.
So what happened to the nodules? Did they exist in the first place?
Yeah, but they gave me the medicine to shrink them and they shrunk.
Oh, they shrunk them right out of existence.
They did. So I have this autoimmune disease, but it turns out the autoimmune disease is just sort of hanging around and not doing anything.
Huh.
But so yeah, that's the story of my nodules.
And wow. Your almost chronic fatigue or something that you almost had.
Yeah, that was called depression.
Yeah, a very rare disease.
Yeah.
Let's blame it on that boyfriend.
Yeah.
Now, we know that Amanda also has a good story about her colon, but I think we should cut away to Jason and hear Jason. 1859.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to our show.
Hey, thanks. I'm really happy to be here.
So we have no idea what your story is about.
Yeah, no, we didn't. We haven't talked about this at all.
I sent you a text message saying, do you have a good story? And you said, yes. And I said, good enough. I
said, can you come upstairs?
Right. Yeah. All the way upstairs. Jason lives on the first floor, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about it. And, you know, I don't have a colon one and I don't have kidney stones. But I have like a medical trauma story that's more like self-inflicted.
Sounds like a good addition to our show.
Yeah,
that's my metal band, self-inflicted. This was one of those like summer days, lazy college days. It's hot outside. It's a scorching day. A little bit boring, you know. It's like unbelievably humid and hot, and I'm sitting there playing Connect Four with one of my 13 roommates, Jeremy. So there's just two of us home, and you know we're just hanging out. You know, and my God, you know, we need some adventure here. You know, we need something to do. What can we possibly do to like have some fun this afternoon?
Right.
So we decided to walk down to the farmer's market, and I should back up and say, like, I'd always been, like, a huge spicy food fan. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, love good spicy Indian food and Thai food. Just give it to me hot, you know.
Do I sense a Zantac in your future?
Yeah.
Sorry. Continue. I just ruined your story, didn't I?
Not a Zantac, but a habanero pepper. spiciest pepper known to man. Oh, yeah. You know, I've been working my way up through some of the, you know, the medium range peppers, and you know, but today we were gonna go for it. You know, we were gonna go all the way to the top, like go for the motherlode pepper. And so, came back, sitting across the table from, across the Connect Four thing, or playing, or putting the things down the slots. Do you have a sound effect for the slot?
Are we forgetting the sound effects?
Yeah,
good enough. Yeah,
we were playing really fast. So we sit there and we decide, like, rather than like really going for it, we just like cut one of them in half. So I had half a habanero. Jeremy had half a habanero sitting in front of us. I ate it. In that moment, I looked over at Jeremy, and that was like the last I saw of him for the rest of the day.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a little a little foreshadowing. So instantly, I get like this really strong, intense case of the hiccups. You know, like when you have spicy food like that, it just hits you.
Wow, that is an excellent detail.
Yeah.
Hiccups.
So, yeah, the hiccups, they just came on really powerfully. And, you know, the first thing you want to do is, you know, you want to counter it with something cold, and cold water. And, you know, I was just thinking, you know, water. Okay, that sounds great. I turn around, run to the bathroom. I'm splashing water in my mouth and drinking cold water. This feels so good, such a relief. And I say, no, you're not supposed to put water. That just makes it worse. What you want to do is you want to put a base to that acid. So I ran to the kitchen, opened up the refrigerator door, reach inside, and I grab this big quart of chocolate milk that's been in there. And you know, like, this is going to be so perfect. You know, I get the chocolate milk, you know, thinking back to chemistry, based to the acid, and I put my head back. I start pouring the chocolate milk in and thinking, this is going to be the solution. This is fantastic. And it turns out that the chocolate milk was curdled. So, you know, I've got the habanero, I've got the curdled chocolate milk, and I'm feeling nauseous, just terrible. I run over, spit everything into the sink, run outside. I try to puke into the bushes in the front of the yard. I'm doing everything I can to get everything out of my system, but nothing's working. And so it's a hot day. The closest thing I can find to air conditioning is the sidewalk. And so I lay down face first on the sidewalk and proceed to pass out. And I don't know how long I was out, probably an hour, maybe 2 hours.
You hit a habanero. What the fuck?
And what kind of neighborhood is this? Like, they just stepped over the guy.
You are a catch. Well, a real catch.
Well, and so the only reason I came to was the afternoon showers started coming down.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, it was a very, very like nice, easy reentry into the world. So I ran upstairs, went to bed, and woke up the next morning.
I'm so glad you stopped, because it's 18 minutes and 21 seconds. Oh my God, wait, tell us your colon story, quick.
That was it. That was my colon story, too.
That was all of our colon stories. Well, I think we're...
I have to go to the bathroom.
Jason, that was excellent. Amanda, that was excellent.
Thank you, guys.
I think we need to wrap it up, though. Closing words.
We're coming to the end of the podcast. Thanks for joining us again. Your hosts, Michael Hurst and Rick Moody, joined today by Amanda Stern and Jason Bittner. Tune in again soon when our subject will be nausea. 1859.